All of the legal actions against former President Donald Trump are going to be at stake as his motion to dismiss the election interference case goes before the nation's high court, where he has claimed broad immunity, stating that what he did were all official acts as president that are covered by the immunity that is granted the chief executive of the United States. But exactly what constitutes an official act might be in question. We welcome in Richard Friedman, who's professor of law and expert on the Supreme Court history at the University of Michigan. Professor Friedman, good morning.
Good morning.
How much of this will boil down to the very definition of what an official act is? Trump says that he was officially acting as president to ensure election integrity. Prosecutors say you were trying to undo a legal election.
That's right. So it's possible that the Supreme Court will make that the decisive issue. It's conceivable that they would say it doesn't matter if it's even if it was official, if it was criminal, then you're not immune. So it'll be interesting to see how the argument goes.
They basically say, Trump's lawyers, that, they're like turning it on its head. They're saying, yeah, he did it, but it was official business. And for some legal scholars, they're like, wow, this is amazing that they're making this argument.
It's pretty bold. But you got to go with what you got. And that's putting the best face on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take, for instance, the famous phone call to Brad Raffensperger, all I need is 11,780 votes. What can you do with that? Well, I mean, he's saying he's the president of the United States and he's concerned about election integrity. So that's what he was doing. He was acting as president. I mean, the fact is, in reality, the president does not have much at all to do with how the states run their elections. So, personally, I think it's nonsense. But I think it'll be interesting to see whether the Supreme Court says, the lower courts have to think hard about this and make a determination whether, in fact, it was an official act.
Regarding timing, what are the implications of the Supreme Court's decision in relation to the possibility of holding a trial before the upcoming election?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting issue, and I think in that sense, Trump has already gotten a victory out of this. So they'll hear arguments tomorrow. They could theoretically decide any time, but I think everybody expects that they're not going to decide until the end of the term, which would be late June or early July. Now, the trial judge has said, before the immunity motion was made, there was something like 82 days before the anticipated trial date. And she said she's going to give the same amount of time after the Supreme Court decision, assuming that there's no holding of immunity. So that would put us into mid-late September, which is quite a time to have a trial for a major party candidate. So, We'll see what happens. It could be that, October is going to be filled with a trial of election interference in the last election. It could be that the judge says, it's too late. Now, it's theoretically possible that the court could say, let's say after arguments, they say there's just no immunity. We're going to hold right now that there's no immunity, and we'll issue an opinion later. They have done that in the past. I mean, issue the decision and come down with the opinion later. They did it most notably in the case involving Nazi saboteurs during World War II, but where the five of them were executed before the Supreme Court issued its opinion. But I'd be surprised if they do that.
To what degree are we operating here in kind of a precedent-free zone? I mean, I know a lot of scholars have cited the Fitzpatrick case during the Nixon administration, but that was civil liability. This is the first time we've seen a president charged criminally. So are these uncharted waters?
I think Trump takes us a lot into uncharted waters, doesn't he? So you're right. The Fitzgerald case said that the president is immune from civil liability, and that, of course, is a good case for him to cite here. But the D.C. Circuit thought, you know, the lower court thought, and I think most legal scholars think that the stakes of a criminal case are different, and it's a different issue. So, yeah, there really isn't anything like it. Now, Trump is trying to say, hey, we've got lots of precedents. We've got 200 plus years of presidents who weren't indicted, you know. But the special prosecutor says, hey, no president has ever done anything like what you're charged with. Trump tried to come up with a few cases, the so-called corrupt bargain that put John Quincy Adams into the White House, but that was a bit of an embarrassment for him because the corrupt bargain was before he was president. I think there's been nothing like this, but, you know, there's nothing like January 6th.
We had someone from the Heritage Foundation on who said that we can't bring claims against a president unless he was impeached.
That's what they say. And Trump has argued, although the court wasn't interested, Trump has even argued unless he was, he was impeached, of course, but unless he was impeached and convicted.
Right.
And they have to concede that he was impeached and convicted, there could be a criminal case brought against him. They have to concede that because the Constitution explicitly says if you're impeached and convicted, then charges may be brought, criminal charges may be brought against you. There's no doubt about that. So they have to concede that.
But does that mean you can't bring criminal charges if you haven't had that final conviction. In the impeachment process?
Yeah, they try to make that, but that doesn't follow logically, right? All the Constitution says is, hey, if you've been impeached and convicted, you still can be charged criminally. It doesn't say you can't be charged criminally if you haven't been impeached.
Separately.
And, of course, the impeachment clause, bear in mind, impeachment clauses apply to all federal officers, not just the president. And it's certainly clear that with other federal officers, they don't have to be impeached and convicted to be charged criminally. Ask Senator Menendez.
We will be watching carefully to see if they tip their hand. Thank you, Professor Friedman.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.